Chapter 21: A Practical Perspective on the Sensations of Fatigue and Energy, and Sleep. Concepts and Principles of Fatigue. What is fatigue? Note, some sources might use the word fatigue in a less general way than I am using the term in this chapter. Based on the way I am using the terminology for this discussion, fatigue is an experience that makes it difficult to perform physical or mental activities, and it includes sensations of sleepiness, tiredness, exhaustion, low energy, or sensations of laziness. Fatigue can range from extremely mild to very severe. At the mildest level, it is associated with a slight desire to cease unpleasant work. At the extreme level of fatigue, it is very difficult or impossible to engage in work or recreational activities. Attempts to continue with any activity while severely fatigued may result in poor quality work, accidents, and a great deal of discomfort. This is because at the higher levels of fatigue, mental and physical abilities, especially the ability to concentrate, is impaired to varying degrees. Based on the way I am using the concept, a moderate degree of fatigue is normal, and it is experienced to varying degrees on a daily basis. However, various illnesses, and/or unhealthy or excessively stressful living conditions can facilitate fatigue. Adverse life circumstances that are lacking in excitement may also contribute to fatigue. Illnesses, and/or undesirable life circumstances can sometimes result in excessive fatigue throughout the day. You can avoid errors, accidents, and poor decisions by not performing certain activities while you are experiencing fatigue. You can reduce the chances of accidents and poor quality work by avoiding all critical activities while experiencing moderate to high levels of fatigue. Driving, operating dangerous machinery, and even critical conversations with others should be avoided when experiencing fatigue. At high levels of fatigue, it is very easy to make poor decisions. Some people have a tendency to get into arguments when they are fatigued. This can include overall intolerance of the shortcomings of others when fatigued. Becoming more aware of all of the above can prevent many problems from occurring throughout your life. Two categories of fatigue. Fatigue can be divided into two broad categories. I am dividing fatigue into two broad categories for this discussion. I am calling the first category physiological fatigue and the other inhibitory fatigue. The first category, physiological fatigue, is the result of various physiological stress factors or limitations. This can involve deficiencies of the chemicals needed to perform work, such as shortness of breath after running quickly, low sugar level, weakness as a result of dehydration, etc. It can also involve varying levels of physiological damage, such as sore muscles, physical illness, accumulation of physiological waste products, or excessively high or low temperatures. If we use an automobile as an analogy, physiological fatigue is equivalent to driving a car with gasoline that has been contaminated with water, or a clogged carburetor, or a damaged engine. The other category of fatigue, which I am calling inhibitory fatigue, is the result of various inhibitory mechanisms that are activated in the body. This type of fatigue might be called psychological fatigue by some sources. However, I am not using this terminology, because inhibitory fatigue is often associated with short-term physiological changes, such as variations in blood pressure, heart rate, and body temperature. Inhibitory fatigue involves physiological mechanisms that are shutting the system down to varying degrees. Using the automobile as an analogy again, this is equivalent to a driver reducing the pressure on the accelerator and slowing down or stopping the automobile. An example of inhibitory fatigue is experienced when people get sleepy as bedtime approaches, which is coupled by a reduction in blood pressure and body temperature. This will usually happen even if the individual has rested during the day and does not really need to rest or sleep at the current point in time. Another example of inhibitory fatigue is experienced when there is little stimulation from the environment and/or when we are faced with a boring or monotonous task. This can result in feelings of low energy or sleepiness and related short-term physiological changes. Very often, physiological fatigue and inhibitory fatigue are activated simultaneously. Very often, both types of fatigue are activated at the same time. For example, if an individual was engaged in hard physical labor for many hours, she may experience physiological fatigue as a result of sore muscles. This can stimulate inhibitory fatigue that results in sleepiness, perhaps several hours before the usual bedtime. This type of inhibitory fatigue might include the lowering of blood pressure and body temperature. Inhibitory fatigue can serve the function of preventing damage to the body. It can prevent a person from overworking and producing unhealthy or dangerous levels of physiological fatigue. Is fighting or resisting fatigue healthy or hazardous? It is sometimes quite feasible to fight off inhibitory-related fatigue, especially if it is related to boring or monotonous activity. Fighting off this type of fatigue is more or less similar to pressing on an accelerator of an automobile. In actual practice, this can involve some exercise, such as moving arms and limbs to stimulate the body. Ceasing uninteresting work and engaging in activities you find stimulating can also fight inhibitory fatigue. Alternatively, performing a boring activity in a more interesting way can also be used to fight off inhibitory fatigue. For example, if you are bored by housework, to the point where you feel somewhat lazy or fatigued when you are confronted with it, you may be able to make it more exciting by timing yourself when you do housework. This involves changing the activities associated with housework into a racing game. This can be done also with another individual, where the game involves competition on who completes more work in a given length of time. This, of course, will not work for everyone, but the principle is to try to make boring and uninteresting work more exciting and interesting by one means or another, to minimize fatigue. It is sometimes possible to reduce inhibitory fatigue associated with a boring task by changing the environment. For example, if you have an uninteresting reading assignment to complete, you can do it sitting on a park bench or lying in a grassy field. Tasks that you find boring and fatiguing can sometimes be made more interesting and exciting if you do them with other people. For example, doing homework with other students might be more stimulating for some people. It might also be a more efficient study method if you can obtain assistance from the people you're working with. Fighting off inhibitory fatigue, especially if it is associated with lack of stimulation or boring activities, is not unhealthy. However, this does not apply to physiological fatigue, especially if it is moderate to severe. In most cases, it is probably not advisable to fight off physiological fatigue. Physiological fatigue, by definition, involves stresses that require rest or some type of restorative action to eliminate the fatigue. There are a number of healthy ways of reducing the various types of physiological fatigue. There are several ways of reducing and or eliminating physiological fatigue, depending on the cause of the fatigue. For example, if the fatigue is related to sore muscles from doing heavy physical work, the only practical solution may be rest, and perhaps a reduction in strenuous activity until the muscle soreness ceases. If the physiological fatigue is related to shortness of breath and lactic acid accumulation because of doing heavy physical work, such as shoveling snow or running quickly, the solution might be a few deep breaths, coupled with a short rest period. Physiological fatigue can also be caused by a lowering of blood sugar. This can happen with prolonged exercise or skipping of a meal and from weight reduction programs. This can usually be corrected by drinking a glass of fruit juice or other source of quickly digestible carbohydrates. High temperatures can cause physiological fatigue if it is prolonged. This type of fatigue can usually be avoided by air conditioning and or by wearing thin clothing. Temperature-related fatigue can also result in dehydration, and this can be prevented by drinking relatively large quantities of water when faced with high environmental temperatures. In addition, if you are sweating excessively, increasing salt intake might reduce any fatigue caused by loss of salt. However, increasing salt intake should only be done when it is truly necessary, and with caution, to avoid excessive salt intake. Low environmental temperatures can also be fatiguing. The solution is obvious, which is the use of warm clothing. Physical activity can also help keep the body warm when environmental temperatures are quite low. However, when actually experiencing uncomfortably cold conditions and related fatigue, the only practical solution is to get into a warm environment. Activity-related fatigue. Each activity produces its own unique type of fatigue. When most of us hear the word fatigue, we think of a generalized sleepiness, coupled with a feeling of low energy, which may be coupled with a difficulty in concentrating or doing additional work. In this section, I am not talking about this type of generalized fatigue. I am talking about a selective fatigue that affects certain portions of the body, more than other areas of the body. This type of fatigue is related to specific activities, and I am calling it activity-related fatigue. For example, if you sit at a desk and read a book straight through for a couple of hours, or longer, you may experience discomfort in your eyes, back, and perhaps your legs also from lack of movement. This is activity-related fatigue that results from reading a book while sitting. Another example is if you are typing for many hours, you may feel some discomfort in your hands, arms, and perhaps other parts of your body. This is activity-related fatigue that results from typing. Another example is, if you were sleeping for many hours, you may feel weak and very groggy when you awaken. This is activity-related fatigue that results from sleeping many hours. If you've been walking for hours, or hiking, you may feel discomfort in your feet and legs, and perhaps other parts of your body. This is activity-related fatigue, which results from walking. If you were running very fast, your heart will probably be pounding, you may be short of breath, and you might have sore muscles. This is activity-related fatigue that results from running quickly. The important idea to understand is each activity has a unique type of psychological and physiological impact on our mind and body. The impact can be thought of as a set of stress factors, which may initially be beneficial or healthy in some way. However, when the activity is carried out continuously, a point is reached where the beneficial effects is reduced or eliminated. As the activity continues, it will eventually produce adverse results, such as discomfort, boredom, sleepiness, exhaustion, and/or pains in various sections of the body. Each type of activity-related fatigue has essentially an antidote that is more or less an opposite of the activity. For example, the activity-related fatigue associated with sleeping, grogginess, can be counteracted by mild exercise, which ideally involve the leg and hand movements. The activity-related fatigue associated with reading for many hours in a sitting position can also be counteracted with similar exercises, coupled with various movements of the eyes in different positions. I will discuss this concept in detail in the following paragraphs, because it has practical value in reducing the various types of activity-related fatigue that we all face in our daily lives. Activity-related fatigue associated with sitting-related work and its antidotes. I am using the word sitting-related work to refer to all types of activities that involve sitting and concentrating, such as reading, writing, and working at the computer. These activities generally strain your entire body from lack of movement, especially your legs and back muscles. In addition, your eyes and neck muscles will also usually be strained to varying degrees. Once this type of fatigue has set in, it can be alleviated by stretching, a little walking, or some mild exercise. Sitting-related fatigue can also be prevented or reduced by moving arms and legs while you are working, periodically changing your seating position, and standing up every 30 or 40 minutes, and moving legs and arms. Periodically closing your eyes and looking at distant objects for a few seconds might also reduce eye strain that results from sitting-related work. Sitting-related fatigue can also be reduced by having computer screens at optimal distances from your eyes. Large computer screens and large print-on documents may also reduce this type of fatigue. Exercise-related fatigue and its antidotes. Exercise-related fatigue is just the opposite of the above. It comes about from hard physical work, especially if it is carried out over an extended period of time, and/or if it is strenuous and very vigorous. Exercise-related fatigue can be divided into two categories. One category I am calling aerobic-related fatigue. This is the result of prolonged moderate exercise, such as jogging 3 miles, or walking for an extended period. Any type of moderately heavy work, performed for more than 15 minutes, such as loading trucks, carrying heavy packages while walking, and even conventional housework are examples of aerobic-related fatigue, based on the way I'm using the terminology. The other category of exercise-related fatigue I am calling anaerobic-related fatigue. This type of exercise is experienced when the activity is vigorous enough to cause at least some shortness of breath. This is generally associated with an oxygen debt and an accumulation of lactic acid. The antidotes to both types of exercise-related fatigue involve sitting-related activities. This can involve sitting in a comfortable chair and reading, working with a computer, and other types of typical office work that involve sitting. Alternatively, relaxing while lying down, or going to sleep, will also be an effective antidote to exercise-related fatigue. The quickest antidote for anaerobic-related fatigue is a series of deep breaths while sitting or lying down. When exercise-related fatigue is moderate to severe, it might be beneficial to gradually reduce the intensity of exercise before engaging in sitting-related activities or before lying down and resting. Activity-related fatigue that results from lying down and resting or sleeping, often associated with grogginess, and the antidotes most of us experience at least some activity-related fatigue from sleeping when we wake up in the morning. We can call this sleep-related fatigue. This is usually associated with a high level of grogginess, and it may be associated with the desire to go back to sleep. However, if you have already slept an adequate number of hours, additional sleep might make the problem worse. This type of fatigue might also be experienced if you lie down and rest for excessively long periods of time, but it will usually be very mild if you did not fall asleep. This type of fatigue, whether it is caused by sleeping or by resting while lying down, is partly the result of the body turning down its metabolic functions. This can include a lower body temperature than during daytime hours, and an increase in blood carbon dioxide levels. In hot weather, sometimes a contributing factor to this type of fatigue is mild dehydration. The antidote to sleep-related fatigue, or lying down and resting-related fatigue, is mild exercise, which can be initially carried out while lying down. This can involve slow movements of the body, involving the arms and legs, while lying down. This should be coupled with stretching movements, and ideally deep breathing. This should be continued until you feel you have enough energy to stand up. Then, you can move about the room, waving and stretching your arms in the air, while doing some deep breathing. The pace can gradually be increased until you feel you are fully awake. Taking fruit juice and having a very light breakfast may also help reduce sleep-related fatigue. Sleep-related fatigue can be reduced by avoiding excessively long sleep periods. For some people, breaking their sleep into two periods, such as 6 or 7 hours at night, and a 2-hour nap during the day, might be a feasible way of reducing sleep-related fatigue. Sleeping in a well-ventilated room that is comfortably cool may also help reduce sleep-related fatigue. Activity-related fatigue associated with eating, especially overeating and related antidotes. When we eat, the food must be processed physiologically by the body, which includes the process of digestion. This requires energy and a diversion of blood to the digestive tract. When we eat a heavy meal, especially if it involves much fat, protein, and carbohydrates, we will probably feel this physiological strain in terms of fatigue. This is especially the case if we ate food that is difficult to digest. This can involve a feeling of drowsiness and/or desire to sleep. When this type of fatigue sets in, the best antidote for most people is resting quietly or going to sleep. The fatigue associated with eating can be reduced or eliminated by consuming small meals. For example, instead of having 3 large meals, you can have 6 or more small meals throughout the day. A solution that is more practical for most people is to avoid large meals or fatty meals during working hours. This can consist of a small breakfast and a light low-fat lunch, coupled with a heavy supper in the evening. For further information on fatigue, consult the following websites. Websites on fatigue and related concepts. There are website links on this page that will not be verbalized.